Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hey, numerologist community, thank you for joining me once again this week for another episode of the Numerologist Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Rose. Now, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you're loving it, I'd really love if you could write a review for us on iTunes or whatever service you're listening to this on. Our guest today is Courtney Miller, owner of willowsbloom.com, a business helping women design their business with the cosmos. Willow's Bloom teaches a unique blend of astrology and practical CEO skills in order to create a personalized business strategy that fast-tracks women to the profit and impact they deserve. Please welcome Courtney to the show. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I'm really excited to chat to you today because what we're going to talk about is kind of something quite different. And I think your business as a whole is quite interesting and intriguing to a lot of people. So can you tell me a bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So my name is Courtney and I have a business called Willows Bloom. And basically what I take people through is the journey of their natal chart, which is basically just their birth chart, because everyone has a unique signature of planets and stars when they're born. And I help them discover their life purpose through that chart. And I also help businesses look at their business chart and see what their business wanted. Because just like a person has their purpose when they're born, a business also has its purpose when you came up with that idea. So we'll look at that chart and we'll go through it together. And then I help people bring it to life in my course, in my business course.
That's super exciting, and it's something that's sort of really intriguing to me because obviously, you know, we talk a lot about going through life, you know, in terms of looking at your astrology chart, your natal chart, and that kind of thing, and how it can affect you on a personal level, but we rarely look at it on that business level. And I think with a lot of people becoming, you know, that having that entrepreneurial spirit and bringing that out nowadays, what you do is actually really fascinating and will help a lot of people, I imagine. So can you just take me through, say, for example, I had an idea for a business. How would you start? What kind of questions would you ask and what kind of things would you look into?
Yeah, so actually what I do is I will typically work with somebody who has already had the idea and they've already taken that first step towards creating it. So maybe they bought a domain name or maybe they invested in a coach or started a Facebook group or a YouTube channel. And what we look for is some kind of timestamp and date for that thing. So if they, for example, bought a domain name, then we would look in their email and find the date and time for that. And we would pull the chart and they would already kind of have an idea of what they want. But when they come to me, we just get so much clarity about the mission and purpose and exactly how they're supposed to serve. So it's not like I'm helping them create the idea necessarily. That's more of the life purpose readings where we look at their personal chart. It's people are coming to me, you know, already with kind of like that first step, but it hasn't really been totally formed, or they want to kind of clarify what that focus is and really hone in and help people in a more powerful way. And I think that's really what the business readings are for.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I think one thing that when I was sort of looking at your website that really sort of fascinated me is how sort of you can work with the current cosmic climate. Can you talk a bit about that? Because obviously, you know, with the planets changing all the time and aligning different ways here and there, it's got to mean, you know, different things for your business at different points, right?
Yeah, and that's why I love to make this so practical for people, because business and astrology work so well together, because astrology affects the collective. Like it's basically acting as a mirror of the energy that we are feeling here on Earth. And so if you can really harness that and understand what's going on with the planets, then you will know what your customers are feeling. You will know when it's a good time to launch something or when it's not a good time because it's more of a time of reflection, or if there's a lot of big stuff going on astrologically, maybe people aren't looking to buy because there would be things going on in their personal lives. And so right now, for example, we're experiencing a ton of retrogrades, and you normally wouldn't want to launch something during this period because all the planets are moving backwards. A lot of that energy turns internal. And so what I would recommend is actually at this time to start reviewing everything and going back and tying up your loose ends. And so if you can sort of plan your launches and plan your strategy around that energy, it can be really powerful. And I actually did this with a launch of mine, and I found that it was more successful because I was launching it based off of, you know, the transits happening in my personal chart as well as the collective.
That's really powerful, isn't it? To know firsthand that it, you know, it actually does have this huge impact on your business.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people, they really underestimate that, because I think that, for example, right now during COVID, this was all predicted by astrologers. I mean, not down to the T, but energetically, we could see that something big was happening in 2020. And so when you realize these things beforehand, you can just maneuver and have a strategy for those energies and the way that you operate your business in a way that is so in alignment. For example, I don't want to scare anyone, but next year there's going to be some intense energy around the United States birth chart and the financial situation going on here. So knowing that as a business and as a company, how can you prepare for maybe financial struggles coming up in the next year?
Yeah, and that's really, really good to know. And it's funny you say you don't want to scare anybody, because I think the headstrong entrepreneurs listening will think, you know, I'll take that challenge. but at least it gives people a bit of forewarning and prep, I suppose. Is there anything specific that you can offer those people other than, you know, just be warned? Is there anything, you know, that you see that they can do before that time?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people in the astrological community are predicting possible hyperinflation. And so if that's the case, then, you know, all of the tangible assets would be the way to go, because if money starts to lose its value, then of course you want to prepare by having like actual goods to sell for money eventually when money does regain value. And I'm not saying that that's definitely going to be the case, but I do think that there are going to be financial implications to what's going on, and you know, with the virus right now. And you can even see some stuff happening with Saturn, where there could be some censorship coming up online, and you can already get a taste of that going on with the COVID and people not wanting to spread, you know, fake news or misinformation. So I guess being more mindful about, first of all, where you're putting your content, because a lot of the content could get shut down. If you post something about astrology, for example, that might not be accepted like it was in the past. I follow this one astrologer who her email provider just stopped sending her emails for her because they said it wasn't something that they wanted to promote and it wasn't in their guidelines. And so she was just talking about normal everyday astrology, and they're already starting that censorship process. And so just being mindful about having a backup of all of your content in case things do get deleted, or having tangible goods in case, you know, money does lose the value. I think that that's a really practical tactic to take for the next year ahead.
Yeah, cool. And it's so funny that you say that about the censorship, because the call, so I was late for this podcast interview because I was on a call that basically we were talking about censorship of one of our pieces of content that we were trying to put out. It's so funny that you say that. Yeah, obviously, you know, that energy is already lingering around in the cosmos. So yeah, that's so spooky.
That's crazy.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about, obviously, a lot of our fans of numerologists love anything to do with the moon. Because obviously, yeah. you know, that moon cycle happens every 28 days. So it's something that's a bit more of a short-term goal, I suppose, if you work things around the moon. Is there anything business-wise that we can look at in terms of moon cycles?
Oh, definitely. So there's a lot to say about this, but basically the moon is associated with public reception. So for example, when someone becomes famous, you can see in their natal chart that typically their moon will have like a planet pass over it and have a big change. So whenever we're looking to launch something to have a bigger public reception, we want to have either a full moon or a new moon. And typically people say that they would want to launch it on a new moon if it's like a long lasting project. Whereas a full moon, I feel like since it's more illuminated, it's like you get this burst of attention, but maybe it's not this growing, long lasting thing over time. Whereas a new moon, since it's dark in the sky, but it has the energy of a new beginning, then it builds more slowly. So I would recommend if you do want to set intentions for your business, or if you want to launch something, I would always do that on a new moon. And then obviously you can see that come to fruition a little bit more during the full moon.
Yeah, that's great to know, because obviously we talk about moon rituals and that kind of thing a lot. So this kind of thing can be a moon ritual in itself, you know, if you're in business yeah. especially. Now, I just want to talk about people's actual natal charts. Is there anything that you can tell me about people's natal charts? So for example, if our listeners can look at their own charts, Is there any tips and advice you can give them to look at their own charts and think, okay, well, this is an aspect of business I need to look at. This is where my career lies and all that. Where would people be looking?
There's a lot. So the thing is, the chart has to be really taken as a whole. But if you do want to get started, of course, I'm going to give you some advice. But I just always recommend to study further or to have a reading with someone, because when you pick out certain elements, it's kind of like taking one ingredient out of a soup and then eating like the butter and being like, this doesn't taste like a soup. Well, it's kind of like that. So
I love that analogy.
I just don't want people to feel like, well, that doesn't resonate. And I think that happens a lot with the sun signs, because people say I'm a Gemini because that's where their sun is placed in that constellation. However, there's so much more information there. So I just wanted to preface that. But if you're looking for your calling and your purpose within your chart, I definitely recommend one of the places to look at that's very simple is your career line. And so if you just look up your chart, you can actually just Google like natal chart and type in your birth information. And then there will be something called an MC or a midheaven. And this will be in a certain zodiac sign. And basically this kind of influences the way that you will be operating within your career, or a great way to express yourself within your career. So for example, part of my midheaven is in Cancer. And so I love to talk about how we feel. Like I think I bring a lot of things back to being a woman and nurturing. Like I specifically focus on female entrepreneurs. I don't even really try to help men at all. No offense, men. But I think that's because I have that strong desire with that Cancer in my midheaven. And you can also look at your ascendant. So whatever, and again, you can pull this up in your birth chart and it will be ASC or ascendant. Another name for it is your rising sign. So your rising sign can show how others perceive you in the world, but it also represents part of your calling. And so if you can look at that and you can go onto my website, Willows Bloom, you'll be able to discover different aspects of what those zodiac signs relate to as far as career is concerned, because every zodiac sign will have different like recommended careers. And then of course your sun sign and the house that's placed in is going to be huge. So if you're not familiar with a house, it's basically just if you take a picture of the sky when you're born and that picture comes out as a circle and you divide it into 12 different pieces of pie, those are called houses, and those all relate to different areas of life. So we will have different planets in the different pieces of pie. And wherever your sun is, whichever piece of pie your sun is in, will show you how your soul really needs to express itself. It doesn't have to be its calling, like its life purpose necessarily, but I think it helps that aspect of it. Like, you have to take, again, everything into account to get a bigger picture. So I know that was kind of a lot. Does that make sense though?
Yeah, no, it absolutely makes sense. And what I'll do is I'll link to somewhere where people can actually get their natal chart. Great. In the description for this this podcast. So yeah, that was awesome. Now, I read something recently that called the millennial generation the astrology generation. And I think that's, and it's something I actually talk about quite a bit on podcast at the minute, is the fact that, you know, spirituality, divination, all those kinds of things are becoming a lot more mainstream. How do you think that affects your business, and have you found a lot more people sort of being more open to looking at their astrology and combining that with business? Because I think those two, for me especially, astrology and the spiritual side of things combined with the professional corporate side of things of business, they've always been sort of a bit separate, but now with this, especially with what you're doing, they're definitely combined.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked that, because This is my passion, honestly, to interweave these two seemingly opposite elements into one, because for me, it feels like it's kind of boiling it down to like the masculine and feminine. Like, the business feels very masculine, like strategy, and the feminine side is the astrology and the intuition and the energy that we feel. And I feel like we're doing such a disservice to only look at one. And so it was so important to me to weave them to weave both of them together. And I do feel like this generation has more of an open mind to both aspects. And I feel like we're in this phase of the rise of the divine feminine, where we're beginning to reintegrate these lost female principles that have kind of been neglected through, you know, the patriarchy over time. And I don't want to, you know, come off in a like a weird way, but I do feel like there are certain elements of astrology and of other divination tools and witchcraft that have kind of been put down. But I think that's because a lot of it is interwoven into like the feminine aspect of life. And I think that as a whole has been put down for many centuries. So I feel like we're kind of in this new wave, and it definitely aligns with the age of Aquarius, where we're all sort of just moving into this acceptance of these new age topics more than ever before, which is really exciting for numerologists as well, because I think that that's definitely going to be part of that movement.
Absolutely. And you're so right. It is sort of the more accepting of the more esoteric side of things, because you've definitely seen a lot more sort of younger people getting into, even, you know, like you say, witchcraft and all those kinds of things. So it's really nice to see. I wanted to talk about our favorite planet. Well, at Numerologists, we often talk about Mercury and when it goes retrograde, especially. I think of all the planets, that's probably one that a lot of people will want to know, okay, what do we do in business when Mercury goes retrograde? Can you give them any advice?
Yeah, well, Mercury goes retrograde so often that I feel like you wouldn't make decisions based off of that necessarily. I would say the other planets going, like Venus going retrograde, I could see, since that happens, you know, not as often. But basically what's happening when Mercury goes retrograde is that everything that planet rules kind of goes a little bit haywire. And again, it's a time for review. So anytime something moves backwards, it's review time. So Mercury rules transportation, it rules communication, the way that we think. And so during that time, you know, technology, those kinds of things will all start to go haywire, and people wonder why their computers are breaking or Zoom isn't working and they can't get their words out. And so I think that's just kind of a process. And what's funny is that if you natally have Mercury retrograde when you were born, then this will actually be a good energy for you. Like, this will feel natural for you. So I think it really depends on the person. And so as far as business is concerned, yes, I wouldn't really make decisions based off of that. I would, if you have the chance to, I would really take that time to reflect a little bit more about the way that you're communicating online and the way that you are marketing yourself, because Mercury also rules, you know, marketing. And so just examining more of your online presence and kind of like taking a back seat in your business to assess if that's how you want to keep putting yourself out in the world.
Yeah, and I think that's a great tip. And like you say, with Mercury going retrograde so often, it's a great time to sort of assess that. And, you know, it's a reminder that with marketing, it's something that you've constantly got to be on top of. And if you're giving yourself at least those, say, 3 times a year to sort of really reflect and take a look at how you are putting yourself out there, then I think that's a good aim, at least so people know, okay, Mercury retrograde is my look at my marketing time. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that that's the only time you should look at your marketing. But yeah, that's a really good reminder to people that they can actually use this time, because it gets such a negative rap sometimes, doesn't it, Mercury retrograde?
Yeah, it's honestly a little bit upsetting how misunderstood it is, because I feel like people are scared. They're like, oh, we're not moving forward. Oh, we're not making progress and things aren't going as planned. You know, that's exactly what's happening right now with COVID. But I think people don't realize that you can't just keep moving forward. You have to digest. You have to have time to integrate the lessons and process things and make better decisions for how you want to move forward in the future. And if we always move forward, think about how much would get left behind or be misunderstood or not integrated. And so I feel like instead of viewing it with fear that it's coming up, I would view it as an opportunity to soak up the lessons of all the forward movement you've had so far. And viewing it that way, I think, is really helpful.
Absolutely. And I think that brings up another point as well about perspective. This is somebody else's story that I'm kind of stealing from another podcast, but basically she was trying to channel Archangel Michael when she first sort of got into, and I can't even remember the name of the lady who said this, so hopefully I'll find her podcast again and link it somewhere. But basically she was saying that she was trying to sort of ask, you know, Archangel Michael, can I work with you type thing. And she left her picture, the picture of Archangel Michael, above the her altar, and left a candle on. And when she came back, the picture had fallen off the wall and had set on fire. So she said it was really kind of bad. And then her friend said, oh, this is, you know, a bad omen. It's really bad omen. And she said, well, actually, no, I think it's a great omen. Basically, Michael is saying, I'll set myself on fire for you. So I think that kind of thing, it is all about perspective and taking what is seemingly negative on the surface and finding the good in it.
Yes. Oh, I totally agree. I mean, that's so essential to business, because everyone is so scared of failure at first until they realize that the failure is just a lesson that's preparing them to get to the next level. So it's like that failure teaches you so much so that you're able to actually bypass all these other things that you could have experienced that could have gone wrong, because now you have this nugget of wisdom. And so I feel like when you have that perspective of this is all happening for a reason and how can I make the best of this, that really just changes the game for everything.
Absolutely. 100%. We did get a question from one of our numerologist community about business and astrology. And this might be because we talked about in the beginning, you normally deal with people who have already sort of had the idea and they've put something plan into motion. But this question was, how do I choose my ideal niche based on my astrology?
Yeah, I love this question, because I think that's so important to starting any business, is you really have to hone in on who you are meant to serve. And so I think it depends. Like, you would have to definitely see the whole chart. But for example, for me, in my chart, I could see that I was supposed to help female entrepreneurs, given the fact that I had the strong Cancer energy in the 10th house of career. And in my business's chart, I had like the sun of my business was also in the career area. So I knew that I was meant to help either career oriented people, or I was supposed to help like people start their business and start their career. So it could have gone either direction. So I think the great thing about astrology is it can give you lots of clues, and then it's up to you to kind of fill in the gaps and get a little bit more specific. So I think it's a really great jumping off point to see, okay, this is what my business wants to express. And when you look at the whole chart, you see a whole story comes to life. It's very beautiful. But it's kind of hard to say like, oh, this is exactly what you do, and just look at that piece, because it's really like a symphony. It all plays together. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like an energetic blueprint, and then you kind of will have to fill that in with the more specifics of, okay, I'm helping, you know, female entrepreneurs with business that's in the chart, but then using astrology. And so that's like how I really niche down, and that astrology aspect came from myself.
Yeah. Okay. And it's that blueprint that can sort of show you your business owner style as well, can't it? So things like how you're going to be productive, whether you need a certain routine, charts will be more sort of susceptible to getting distracted and all those kinds of things. So what would you say to that?
Yeah, I would look at your personal chart for that, because obviously the business is not like a person, so it won't really go through the ebbs and flows of, you know, emotions or struggling to be productive. But if you look at the sixth house in your personal chart, you will see how you approach your daily work life and your routines. And that will give you a huge indication. For me, I have so much Capricorn energy, which is very much about staying, you know, on schedule and planning and making sure that all of your ducks are in a row. But then I had Pisces in the sixth house. And then sometimes I would wonder and get so upset with myself about why I would create the schedule and then sometimes struggle to keep and stick to that schedule. And for me, I could see that in my astrology chart once I better understood it. And so I now have better ways to work with that and create more sacred space in my day. And also, you know, stick to my schedule to the best of my ability. I mean, I'm still human. But yeah, that's a really cool aspect of astrology, is that you can see exactly what you need to function in your daily work routine in the sixth house.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the more I talk to sort of astrologers, it's a funny thing that I always see. It's like the more you understand, the more successful you can be. Because, you know, if you're sort of not so productive one day, you don't beat yourself up about it. Or, you know, okay, well, I can be sort of unproductive this day, but to get my motivation back, I need to do X, Y, Z. And it's all about sort of understanding how you sort of flip the switch on your sort of situation, and not sort of, you know, beating yourself up about when it's not necessarily how you think you should or society should be perceiving it.
That's huge. I think the biggest gift astrology has given me is just really understanding and accepting myself. And all of what you're mentioning is basically coming back to mindset, which is everything. I mean, that rules how productive you are, what you achieve, how you think about your life. Like, your mindset and approach to the way that you go about life is everything. So when you begin to understand yourself, and then you can practice more self-love and compassion because of that, and you can understand how to work with yourself and not try to force yourself into this box of what life should be like, and, you know, this is what everyone else says to do. Well, I can tell you by looking at your chart that that's not meant for you. And then you can begin to structure your day in a way that works for you. And then you can feel like you're in flow, you feel confident. And then that's when you start to see success in your business, because you start to believe in yourself and you feel good in what you're doing.
Absolutely. Now, I wanted to talk about goal setting. Normally we talk about goal setting sort of at the beginning of a year, but with COVID going on, I feel like there's going to be sort of almost the beginning of a year once everybody sort of comes out of lockdown. So what would be your tips for goal setting for the new mock year, as you would say?
Yeah. Oh, there's so much. I do a lot with goal setting. Let's see. There's a lot of different tips. First of all, I would say basically, this is how I structure my goals. I start off with a larger vision. So I sit down and I meditate. I'll put on some binaural beat music to stimulate my brain. And I will think of I will visualize my 3-year vision of the company or what I want to achieve in my life and really get granular about every aspect of my life and how I want to feel and who I want to be with and what I want to experience. And then I will go and I will journal all of that out. And then I break it down into, okay, what are the big things that I've achieved by this time, by year three? Year three. And then I come back and I'm like, okay, what do I want to achieve in 1 year in order to be on track to that vision? And then what most people do is they stop there and they say, okay, that's my annual goal. Like, let's go do it. And I think that that's the least productive thing that you can do, because what happens when in grade school, what happens when you have a deadline that's 3 months away? You don't work on it until it's like a week away. And you know that. Everyone knows that. I know very few people who are organized and working on it from day one. And so what I say is we want to break this down into quarterly goals and then focus on that. So every quarter I have a goal of, okay, this is what I want to achieve. And then here is my like stretch version of that goal. Here is what I'm going to shoot for, but I'm not going to really put all my money on. And then also in terms of, you know, action and achieving your goal, I would say focus on the things that are within your control. Like, you can set yourself up to win by doing these certain actions and be proud of yourself if you've done all the actions that you think will lead you to your goal. But if, for example, those actions led to a different result and you didn't quite achieve it, don't beat yourself up about that, because a lot of times those things are out of your hands. Like, you can't control if somebody bought your product or not. All you can do is take the actions that you think will get you there and then reassess at the end of the quarter. And if it didn't, what new actions can you take? So what I'm trying to say is basing your quarterly success not on the necessarily like the number outcome, but more so on your ability to hit the action targets that you've set for yourself.
So I think that's probably a great place to end. But what I'm really excited about with you, Courtney, is the fact that we will be talking a lot more. Courtney is going to be becoming one of our regular contributors on numerologist.com. So you will be hearing a lot more about her in terms of business astrology, and she'll be doing some forecasts and readings for sort of what's coming up cosmically in the future, won't you?
Yes, I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.